Welcome to the In Every Place podcast, the show that brings you the story beyond the headlines of what God is doing around the world today. Thanks for joining us. We hope you enjoy today's episode.
Awesome. Well, hello, everyone. This is Sam Harper. Welcome to the In Every Place podcast, where you are getting to learn the bigger God story behind the headlines in locations and spaces that you would never even begin to expect. My guest on today's episode is a friend of mine, Jason Hershey. Jason, with his wife Kimberly, have been full-time missionaries with YWAM, Youth with a Mission, since 1999. They moved as intercessors to Washington, D.C. in 2004, where they have pioneered YWAM D.C. along with two 24/7 lamps of prayer called David's Tent D.C. and the American Center for Prayer and Revival. They have seven children along with an eighth in heaven. Jason, it's a huge honor and blessing to have you here with me today. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Absolutely, Sam. Just so good to see your face again. First of all, I think we're recording over Zoom, but just so good to be on and get to talk about what God's doing in the earth. This is nothing more I'd rather do.
Awesome. Well, let's jump in straight into it. Jason, obviously the eyes of not just the United States, but the eyes of the world in so many respects have been on DC, obviously in the month of November with the elections and tons going on. But I think the experience of 2020 has showed that even the top leaders, they are very much human without much certainty of a plan or much certainty of even what to do and what's going on. So through that lens, take us into what is David's Tent, D.C.? Give us a little bit of the history, what it is that you guys are doing, and even kind of get us up to today of what your experience has been the last couple of months.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's interesting. You just said the eyes of the world are on Washington, D.C., and I think a lot of our job in D.C. is to help put the eyes of the world on Jesus and to really draw attention to the beautiful one, the most magnificent one. You know, David's Tent, in really the simplicity of sort of the peanut butter and jelly Sunday school version story, is that King David in the Bible, in the midst of all the genealogies of First Chronicles, you get this picture of a king that in his governmental city of Jerusalem, his capital city, he had a tent near his palace where he hosted the very presence of God, the Ark of the Covenant. And then it says he hired 4,000 musicians and 288 singers, plus thousands and thousands of administrators, that day and night they had King David, David's tabernacle as we know it, continuously ministering to God's heart around the clock, watch after watch, day and night for years. And so we know that King David chose to lead his nation this way, with the presence of God being at the center, with this musical prayer meeting as a fragrant offering going before the Lord day and night. And we know, you know, through history of Israel, through biblical history, even up to present day history, that those days, the reign of David, are still to this day known as like the golden years of Israel's history. And so in the golden years of Israel's history, what were they doing? Well, King David had this tabernacle where 4,288 musicians and singers were ministering to God day and night. We also know, like, if you look at in the book of Revelation, Revelation 4, 5, and 6, we see the throne room of the Lamb of God, of Jesus. And the way he governs from his throne room is the harps of worship and the bowls, which are the prayers of the saints. The harps and the bowls are the 24 elders around the throne. And we see the throne room of heaven, the government of God, comes to the earth through day and night worship and prayer. And so in Washington, D.C., David's Tent, what is it? Practically speaking, for the last 5 years, I know this might blow some people's minds a little bit right now, but literally on the Washington Mall, of Washington, D.C., about 7 blocks from the Capitol building on the one side and 7 blocks from the White House on the other side. There's this 40-foot by 100-foot, like, wedding tent that is sitting on the mall where we have invited worshipers and singers, intercessors, musicians, worship teams from around the nation to come here to D.C. to sign out the stage in two-hour segments to keep a continuous love song going before the Lord in a similar way that King David did it in Jerusalem. And so this song now has been going for 5 years continuous since September the 11th, 2015. Wow. It's been going continuous since then till present day. We think there's probably over 3,000, could be over 5,000. We lost count years ago, but thousands of worship teams have come to take their turn at David's tent. And plus, not just worship teams from around the nation, but the local churches here, Sam, I have to tell you, the local churches of the DMV, the DC, Maryland, Virginia region, have so adopted David's tent. So many of them are coming. You know, Grace Capital City comes every Monday night, and the Gate Church on Saturdays, and the Awaken Youth Movement of DC comes every Thursday night, and Antioch Church comes every Sunday morning. And so there's so many local movements. Justice House of Prayer comes every Friday night. That together there's been this lamp of worship and prayer growing here on the National Mall, actually on federal land, permitted by the National Park Service, which is part of the executive branch. So the president appoints the Secretary of Interior that then has part of the Interior Department is the National Park Service, which is like Yellowstone and everything else, but it's also the National Mall in D.C., and it's upon that permit that we get the permission from the president and the executive branch that we get to be out there on the mall day in and day out, lifting up Jesus as this, the everything for us. So, wow. Sam, I need to mention this. You mentioned the executive, just the season that we're in, the presidential race and the election and all of that. Man, it's so encouraging to my heart to know that John in the book of Revelation, Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel all had pretty much similar visions. The revelation of Jesus for them was of the Son of Man seated on the throne.
Yes.
That's governmental as the king. Mm. And for Daniel, it actually says in the book of Daniel that he actually saw the goodness of God through four pagan administrations. Four different kings, he saw the goodness of God, and his revelation of Jesus was of the one seated on the throne, far and above all the rule of men. So in this season at David's tent, our eyes are still fixed on Jesus. David's tent joke is, you go into Four Living Creature Training College. What's the first thing that Jesus does when he walks into the room? He walks in and he says, "All eyes on me, all eyes on me, all eyes on me," to get their attention. And I just feel like right now in the United States, it's all eyes on Jesus.
Yeah.
Let's lift up our gaze to the Lord. And we can be sure that in the midst of COVID, in the midst of an election season, he will still bring his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. We believe it's through day and night worship and prayer because he is a God of relationship. And that's how everything comes to the earth. So David's tent 24/7 now for over 5 years, thousands of worship teams. Wow. And again, there is no man that could ever orchestrate something like this. God has stirred the heart of the remnant of his people. The dollars that have been spent to as really an alabaster jar offering to see this worship go up day and night. The dollars that have been spent over the last 5 years are incredible. People giving and giving and giving to this. And then obviously people giving up their lives, missions teams and worship teams coming from all over, really all over the world have come here to lift up Jesus in this city. And we believe that we are going to see his kingdom come in a way that all of us can look and say, now that was God.
Wow.
And we're looking for those days more and more all the time.
So whose idea was it to go onto the National Mall? I'm assuming that wasn't the Park Service saying, "We've got a prime location for you." How'd you guys get basically on the White House's backyard?
Well, As a matter of fact, it was the Park Service's
idea. Was. Oh, my goodness.
Which is part of the miracle of the whole deal. When we very first did David's Tent was actually 8 years ago. We did it for 40 days in the fall of 2012. And that was coming right off of the heels of the Occupy Wall Street movement, which had manifested in Washington, D.C. as the Occupy D.C. movement. Hmm. And so we saw that they had camped out at this park a couple blocks from the White House called McPherson Square. And they were there for months. And so we thought, okay, if they got away with it at McPherson Square, God put in our hearts about setting up a Tabernacle of David for 40 days in Washington, D.C. We felt like the Lord was speaking it to us, confirming that we should do this. So we went to the Park Service to actually ask for permission to do this at McPherson Square, which is more of like a local city park.
Yes.
And in that initial meeting, their response to us was, well, why don't you do it right by the White House at the White House Ellipse, which is a sort of an elliptical oval-shaped park just across the back fence of the south lawn of the White House where the White House Christmas tree is planted. And so the first, actually, it was the Park Service that suggested to us that we would do it actually right there on the National Mall. And so we're like, okay, that the miracle moment. Is where we were kind of thinking we're going to set up camp for God on a side park. And it was like the Holy Spirit said, no, I want to be central in your nation. And I have a jealousy that the beloved Son of the Father would be lifted up in the center place of the United States. And so the first 40 days was just outside the White House. We've been sort of following the Park Service leadership since then, always asking them, okay, where can we go next? And we've now landed at this place. 7 blocks from the White House, 7 blocks from the Capitol building, pretty much dead center, prime real estate on the National Mall, just across, you know, about a block away from the Smithsonian Castle and this children's carousel that are sort of like iconic landmarks on the mall. We're just like dead center in the midst of everything right now. So we just rejoice that the Holy Spirit's been leading us every step of the way here.
Wow. So, you know, you already were saying it, the National Mall, I don't know what the stats are, but if I'm not mistaken, that's probably one of the biggest tourist places for people to go whenever they visit DC, DC probably having well over a few million people come through each year. What is it like being in the middle of the National Mall, having a prayer meeting, a worship gathering with, I'm assuming, people walking by all the time? What is it like interacting with people who have no idea what you guys are doing? Tell us anything about that.
Well, the first thing I want to tell you is that there is actually many, many hours where it's just us out there.
Wow.
Specifically night watch. Like when I say 24/7, there's people that will ask me like, so like, what time do you close at night? And I'm like, no, it's actually 24/7. Like, okay, so like, are you doing this to like Thanksgiving or like to like, no, it's actually 24/7, 365. So that means from like, you know, 9 o'clock at night till even like 10 o'clock in the morning, there can be joggers jogging by, like local people and stuff like that. But oftentimes there's just a handful of people of us in the tent keeping the watch alive before the Lord. And then, but then there's those weekends in the spring, weekends in the fall, throughout the summer, where tourism is high. And yeah, there's people coming in and out every day. Wow. Lots of great conversations, lots of great opportunities to pray for people and share the love of Jesus. We've seen people saved, healed, set free there over and over again. Every now and again, we'll have the scoffers that will come by. They'll yell at us. They will really, like, they'll give us attitude. We'll get those phone calls with people that think our music is being loud and it's not being too loud. They just clearly don't like the spirit of who we are. But by and large, I would say 95% of the responses that we get are people that really love God. They hear that Chris Tomlin song or that Matt Redman song from across the mall. Their heart is drawn in because the same spirit of God is living in them and they so resonate with it that... Yeah. We see families all the time that just came to DC for a family vacation, and suddenly they're we have, you know, little prepackaged communion cups there on site for free, all, you know, where people want to use them. That before long they'll be in the back of the tent with their family, all circled up taking communion together, and suddenly their tourist vacation turned into an intercessory time praying for their nation. And we get so many of those, And as a worship leader up front on the stage, just watching the people cycle through the tent day in and day out, it is so encouraging. I'm telling you, Sam, there is a lot of people in this nation that still love God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, with all their strength. And it just encourages my heart so much to see how many of them will just come in and just take time on their vacation to give their heart to Jesus. It's just incredible. I feel like I've seen the best of the American church in the last 5 years. The remnant is not small. There's a lot of people that love God, and music, specifically worship music, unites the church like nothing else. We're all singing the same songs across denominational lines, even across musical styles. People somehow or another, they are connecting with the same lyrics, the same music is drawing our hearts together before the Lord. It's just wonderful.
You know, I was about to ask you about that, and you already spoke to it. Of David's Tent's not a you know, it's not a group of 24 people who are each taking an hour. The way you said it at the beginning was literally thousands of teams from across the country are coming and taking slots on the wall, or they're taking time to be a part of what God's doing and their place on the wall. To say it like that, and I was going to ask you, over the last 5 years, what has that done to your own heart as you look at the state of our nation? You know, I feel like there's loud voices out there who, you know, they say things like, oh, it's, you know, we're one step away from slipping right off the cliff, or anything that just creates really a lot of kind of fear and trepidation of, oh man, we got to get back to something. You know, that doesn't sound like what you're saying. And if you could share just a little bit more on interacting with people, and I believe from all 50 states, you know, literally the four corners of our country, what would you say if you were to say, hey, here's the spiritual pulse that you're getting of what God's doing in America? I don't believe you're sharing a story of God's on his way out is when it comes to what he's doing. What would you want to say to us with that?
I have seen God's miraculous hand raising up the Tabernacle of David in Washington, D.C. And the first place that he raises it up is in the heart of the remnant, the heart of his people. He puts a desire and an urgency to come together in day and night worship and prayer like this. So uncommon unity, uncommon love and prayer for God. These two ingredients that we know from revival history of uncommon prayer, uncommon unity. But for me, I've watched it be resourced with the miraculous hand of the Father over all of it.
Wow.
From the financial provision to the divine connections to the favor of God, just everything working together. I just see it as an expression of God's mercy. At minimum, an expression of God's grace at maximum, that he would be raising up a tabernacle of his presence here in Washington, D.C. You know, I mentioned earlier about John, Daniel, Ezekiel, and Isaiah all seeing the man on the throne. Well, David's revelation of God was that he's enthroned on the praises of his people. And that's where his throne resides, is in that place. So why would Jesus be moving into D.C., inhabiting the praises of his people like this, if he wasn't bringing his kingdom with him in the train of his robe? So in moments of contradiction, of COVID, of a crazy election, of all this stuff, I'm just saying God's moving.
Yeah.
He clearly hasn't abandoned us. In fact, the opposite is true. He's actually moving into Washington, D.C. Right now. Washington, D.C. is becoming a hotspot for revival. I'm watching, like, we have, in the past couple of years, one of the local pastors here has told me that I think it's in the last 4 years, we've had over 200 new church plants within the Beltway region of Washington, D.C. And I've met with many of these new church planting pastors, and they all have their story.
Wow. Of God's
of how
leadership.
The Holy Spirit led them to Washington, D.C. Man, God's moving in Washington, D.C. God's moving in our nation. And I'm stealing this from a friend of mine, David Bradshaw, but the revival has not been canceled.
Yes.
It's still on. And I'm excited about it because I'm watching God do it every day.
Yes. Amen. You know, a couple more questions here. You know, speaking of the place of worship and prayer, what is it that you see that's the desire of God? You know, whether it's for someone who's a U.S. citizen or say they are living in a different country, who might be listening here, what's it in the heart of God that he wants to see in every nation or in every city that someone might be living in as they hear the story that you're sharing about what God's doing there with David's Tent, D.C., but really the whole city? What would you want to say to with that about the heart of God when it comes to his people in a location?
Oh my goodness. So much. No, Isaiah 62 talks about your land will be merry. God's looking for people that will be the expression of his loyalty to even land. He's looking for people that will move into Nepal, will move into Israel, even move into, for me, it was Washington, D.C. that was saying, "What? I'm planting myself here. I will not leave until this place knows that it's been married by the beloved bridegroom, that is desired of heaven, and will raise up the tabernacle of David, will plant their feet in the ground and say, this place will host the presence of the Lord and will know the loyalty of heaven." So one, as I believe the Father is looking for those that will marry the Lamb. And this wedding tent out there on the mall is an expression of his desire to marry this city and marry America and to call her to be married. People ask me, why do you do David's Tent? And I would say it's not actually in response to the crisis of our culture. There's a lot of prayer meetings that come to D.C. in response to sin of our culture. We got an election coming up. We're in a crisis. We need to call to God. And I thank God that he is a God that we get to cry out to him in time of need. And we've all done this a million times, right? And God meets us, you know? But for me, the greatest crisis is, what do you do with a God so glorious? When the offering plate goes down the pew of heaven and you want to put more in because he's so glorious than what your wallet has inside of it to give that day, what do you do with your own heart when you have so much thanksgiving and you have no way to express it? And this pent up, no, I need to give Jesus more, is David's Tent. The reason why we do David's Tent really is because Jesus is worthy. And I believe that what's in the heart of the Father is that his beloved Son would be glorified, would be magnified, and would be spoken of as being as good and as loving and awesome as he actually is. And so we want to make Jesus famous. We want to minister to the heart of God by blessing his beloved Son with all of the adoration, with all of the praise. And if our nation wasn't in crisis mode, we were in bone-shaking revival mode, we would have even that much more reason to praise the Lord and to minister back to his heart in thanksgiving. And so all of this is to minister to his heart. And sometimes, Sam, I'm in prayer meetings, and the way the prayers are going, we have all of our crisis things on our hearts. And I'm thinking, are we reaching the Father's heart? I want to reach his heart, Sam. I want to know what's in his mind. How can we minister? What's he after today? And I know that God is after that his Son would be glorified. He's after that his people would know that he's good, that we would talk about him with high esteem, and that we would draw other people into that relationship with this incredible Father, with this beloved Son, with the comforting Holy Spirit. And so we're out there for three reasons. One is because he's worthy. Second is intercession. And thirdly, as a witness to the goodness of God, that many would know him.
Yeah. Wow. Amazing. Amazing. You know, Jason, I feel so encouraged even listening to what you're sharing right now. And realizing, again, what you started with earlier, all eyes on him, all eyes on him. And, you know, I've heard people talk about for years, hey, as crisis levels can increase, so will the revival, or so will the outpouring of the Spirit to allow our hearts to be awakened, our eyes to be able to see him as our rock, Jesus, who is our anchor. But I think that something that has been a learning point through this 2020 experience with so many things is, Yes, I love what you're saying. There's the prayers of mercy. God, end this so we can, you know, get back to something else or make this be short-lived. Compared to God, whatever you are able to do, whatever this situation permits you to do in my heart, let it have its full way. Have the full work that my eyes would be fully on you. You know, I've heard Mike Bickle talk about God bringing up the greatest atmosphere to produce the greatest amount of love in the human heart for Jesus, of that being a way of looking at the plan of God as a redemptive plan. And I hear you saying that of this is the witness, this is the testimony of David's Tent, D.C., and just is amazing. And I think it's a plumb line for everyone's hearts who are listening right now. And Jason, last question I have here for you is, what are you believing for going into 2021? Kind of coming off of what I just shared over, again, I feel like so many people that I've talked to over the last few months, like, I'm believing for COVID to be over. I'm believing for, it is crisis-oriented to kind of end the experience of this season compared to this is what, it's vision of Jesus high and lifted up. And I love what you said, and his kingdom's riding on his robe as it's filling the whole place. What are you believing for? What is the David's Tent DC community believing for going into 2021?
I felt like the Lord gave me a word this year, that the word was that the sun is standing still on Generation Z, meaning the youth and young adults. And if you look at that story, when the sun stood still, basically 2 days of time happened, like 48 hours happened in one cycle of the sun. It's like 2 days happened in one. So the first thing I want to say is I believe that all the prophetic words that all of us were believing for 2020 are going to carry over into 2021. I feel like we're having 1 year of words stretched over 2 years of time. That makes sense.
Yes.
And with that, I believe what I am believing God for is I felt like the Lord said that the Son is standing still because the Father will not let another generation grow up without having its priesthood in place. That will be as intercessors ministering before Him for the rest of their lives as Generation Z. So I see in 2021 an army of youth and young adults rising up in the place of prayer. Again, like Lou Engel in The Call 20 years ago, I see a young generation rising as the priesthood. And as that generation steps in their place before the Lord, you watch and see how fast COVID will disappear. Wow. You watch and see how fast God's kingdom will begin to manifest as the priesthood rises globally, which is what's happening right now. But not just that, I see all over 2021, harvest, 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 harvest. People are gonna be coming to Jesus. I mean, right now, it's like, I'll check my Facebook and someone's like, we had 50 baptisms last night. And I'm thinking, oh man, you just wait till there's 5,000. Like the Holy Spirit, when He is poured out, He is poured out. And He pours Himself out on all flesh. So what I'm believing for 2021, simply is God's arrival. When God's Spirit so manifests that people are repenting everywhere, they're coming back to Jesus, and we could truly say that we're seeing nation-transforming revivals happening, not just in America, but other nations too, that the Holy Spirit begins to visit. So I just believe we're going to see the jealousy of God come sweeping in a planetary way in 2021, that we're going to see a whole planet encountering the jealous God that loves us so much. So after a traumatic year, I know when my kids go through a traumatic experience, what do I do that night? As a father, I comfort, I love, I take him out for a treat, something, you know? I just think 2021 is going to be an amazing year with the Father.
Amen. Jason, final question here for you. You mentioned Generation Z. So maybe two camps I would like to ask you to speak to. if say I'm a high school student right now listening to this on my way to school, or I work in the marketplace in some way, I'm driving home from a long day at work, what would your exhortation as a leader in the body of Christ be for them in whatever locale they find themselves in, going through the grind type of thing, as they listen to this and hear, God, you're moving in, I don't want to miss this in the midst of life going on right now. What would you say to those two camps?
Yeah, you know, Generation Z, your destiny is to be a generation that ministers to God. Your generation is a generation that's to have zeal for the house of the Lord. I prophesy over you that you are generation zeal. For the zeal for God's house consumes you. And God has placed in you, Generation Z, a DNA of worship, of dance, of creative expression to be a blessing unto him. Also intercession for the nations, and even evangelistic tools to pour yourself out for the Lord. And Generation Z in America specifically, you are called to more than life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But you're called to life in Jesus, liberty in the Holy Spirit, and the pursuit of the one thing to behold the beauty of the Lord. And in that, you will be a kingdom of priests, or a nation of the worship and prayer people, that all seven spheres of society, the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, everything at the end of the day, Generation Z, I believe that you will know that our culture and our nation exists at the end of the day to be a ministry to God and to be a blessing unto the Lord. And so Generation Z, I believe you're gonna find in the Lord and your generation such great delight, and you're going to find it in the place of worship, you're going to find it in the place of ministering to his heart, and they will say of you that Generation Z in America was the generation that turned America into a kingdom of priests, or a nation of the worship and prayer people. So go for it. In your prayer closet, in your car, just begin to worship, begin to praise the Lord with your voice, begin to give him thanksgiving, begin to set aside time for fasting, but become those people that will live their lives to be a blessing to the heart of God, and you will find your destiny. You will find your life, your liberty, and your happiness in that place.
Wow. Wow. Jason, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Jason, would you mind just praying for us? Or praying over anyone who might be listening right now, like that's what God would do in their hearts, even as they're listening to this, that something would be stirred or awakened in a fresh way. And then I'll wrap us up here with one last piece after that.
Amen. Well, Father, thank you so much for your loving kindness. You are good. You are loving. Creator, thank you for being our dad. And I just want to pray for everyone listening to this podcast, that today they would experience more of the goodness of God. I pray that you would revive their personal time with you. I pray the next time they open the Bible that they would get so hit with the goodness and the love of God. Holy Spirit, I pray that they would be drawn to you today. And God, I want to pray for each and every one of them, whether it's in their home or their college campus or their town, their city, their state, that they would have the grace to begin to raise up the tabernacle of David, first and foremost in their own heart, but gathering together with their friends, that they would be people that would live for the pleasure and the glory of God. So I just bless them today with a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of God. God, I pray that they would know and comprehend the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge. That they would today, God, I don't believe any of us truly understand how much you love us. But Father, I pray today for everyone listening to this podcast that they would have a greater revelation today of how much you love them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Jason, thank you so much again for the time. Maybe, Jason, speak to this. If someone wants to find out more, get involved with David's Tent BC, where would you direct them to go?
I'd say go to the website, davidstentdc.org. So David's Tent, like King David in the Bible, davidstentdc.org. And we would love to have your worship team come to DC. We'd like to have you come volunteer with us for a couple of weeks if you want to do that. If you're looking for something to do in a summer missions trip or something, anything like that. We just rely on the grace of God to send us the right laborers at the right time. So we'd love to have you come.
Awesome. There you have it. davidstentdc.org. Everyone listening, my hope is that you were encouraged and envisioned in these days that Jesus is alive and he is active everywhere you might find yourself as he gives us eyes to see him truly moving in every place. Hey, if you like the episode, be sure to subscribe to the podcast. But what would mean the most to me is that you would tell someone else, tell a friend, tell a family member of what God is doing. What you heard Jason share about that testimony or what God's doing in your own life, share that with someone else. There's power on it. And truly, we will see amazing things in these days. Thanks.
Thanks for joining us this week on the In Every Place podcast. To be notified of every new episode, hit the subscribe button wherever you choose to listen. If you found this story to be encouraging, please let us know by leaving a review and sharing this story with a friend.